Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Alex D. We'll hear a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Alex D. from the Saints Alive podcast. They do dramatizations of the lives of the saints, and they do it very professionally. Sounds great. I listened to some of them. They're very good.
And we're now going to a reflection from the friary.
Hello, everyone. We are outside the friary today, and every year, or twice a year, the friars take home visits. So I'm about to go on my home visit. This is my brother Peter. He lives in Birmingham. And so we're going to take you with us, show you our family, show you all the places we go, especially the places we eat. Burger, and we're going to bless the food. Bless us, O Lord, these thy gifts about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
One of the first things I do when coming to Los Angeles is go to the cemetery, and there I pray at the graves of my parents. So I've been doing this since my father died in 2021. And my brother, he moved to Birmingham after our father passed away in 2021, and he was a few months after. So this is his first time coming back to the cemetery after our dad's funeral.
So here are where my parents are, or our parents are buried. And I still remember when they bought the plot back in the 80s. My mother, she passed away in 2004 of cancer. My dad, 2021 of COVID. Yeah. Eternal rest grant unto them and all the graves here and all the people here and the souls here. And may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So here is where our sister is buried, and she died of a stillbirth. She was born May 4th, 1968, and for years, my mom, dad, my brother, and I, we'd come here Christmas, Easter, her birthday, all the holidays. We used to come and bring flowers, asking for her prayers. No, just coming to visit the grave. And so here we are again, visiting her, asking for her prayers. She's a little saint. So I'm here at the Playa Blaja restaurant, and as you can see, this is my family here. And every time I come, they take me to breakfast at this restaurant. It's one of my favorites to eat. And usually when I come, I eat this menudo. Menudo, for those of you who don't know, it is tripe and homily in like a chili sauce. So I like to add lemon. And then there is some cilantro and onion I put in here. When I come to California to visit my family, I always stay at Our Lady of Miraculous Metal Parish here in Montebello, California. My good friend, Father John Vianney, is the pastor. He's not here right now, he's in India, but Father gives the best hospitality. He's just such a generous man. So I'm very grateful for his friendship. I come stay here. I've gotten to know the people, I do some masses, and it's always a good time. Thank you for watching this episode of Outside the Friary and seeing how we friars go on a home visit or family visit once or twice a year. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, Alex, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, brother, for having me.
Welcome to the SEEK Conference in 2024. And you do the Saints Alive podcast.
Yes, I do.
And founders, and but tell us a little about Saints Alive.
So Saints Alive is a radio drama podcast on the lives of the Saints. And yeah, so we take stories of the Saints and we turn them into these movies for your ears, basically. Mm-hmm. And we want to revitalize the church from the inside by being re-inspired and reinvigorated by the faith of the Saints. So yeah.
And where did the inspiration to found this podcast come from?
So actually my co-founder Tanner Kalina and I, we were acting out together in Los Angeles. He's a very great actor. He was actually on James the Less here on AWTN. So he played James. But yeah, we're great friends. We go way back.
Yeah.
And more like brothers. But yeah, so we've always loved storytelling.
Yeah.
And we just have always wanted to use our talents for God. We found each other out in LA. We didn't like each other at first. We were kind of like, who is this other guy? This other Catholic actor who has talent. But no, we befriended each other very quickly. And we quickly learned that we weren't going to be able to tell the stories that we thought were worth telling if we were just going to rely on the Hollywood system.
Right.
And so we dove into prayer. We dove into really following God and His call on our hearts to tell stories worth telling and to help make them happen. And so we left LA. I got married and quickly learned that, like, I can't raise a family here. This is not a good place. My amazing wife, when we left LA, she was like, Alex, because she saw that it was hard on me. She was like, Alex, I know this is hard on you, but we're going to figure out, like, God is still calling us and He's calling you to tell stories. And so we left that summer. It was 2020. We had just had our first child. And my wife was like, seeing that I was creatively like frustrated.
Yeah.
And Tanner was actually visiting and was like, when Tanner and I are together, we're just like popcorning ideas all the time.
Wow.
And my wife, Melissa, thanks be to God, was like, you know what, guys, you have to stop talking about things and let's do one thing. Let's just do it really well. And so I had this idea of Saint Stories, of like wanting to tell these stories well, because I just think that they're so powerful, they're so moving, but they're really hard to do.
Right.
You know, like doing a Saint film is no small feat. And so I have to give credit where credit is due. My mom was like, well, why not just do radio dramas? Mm. And that really stuck with me. And so I prayed about it and told Melissa and Tanner, I was like, I think this would be a really good idea. And so they thought so too. And we launched it together in 2020, and the rest is history. Now we're here. And now we're in the top 0.5% of podcasts in the world.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Thanks be to God. We've just merged with Hallow. We've had an really exciting partnership with Hallow of merging together. They're going to be helping us continue telling these amazing stories. We're going to be doing some really exciting exclusive series on Hallow as well. And we really want to continue telling stories that just inspire faith among children, yes, but also among adults as well.
And your, I guess, religious upbringing, was storytelling and dramas, was that part of it, or was that something you discovered later in life?
Yeah, if you asked me as a kid what I wanted to be, I'd always say actor.
Okay.
I don't really know why, other than like I just loved movies. Like I would watch the same. We didn't have like cable.
Yeah.
But my parents allowed movies that they would buy, and so I just watched like movies over and over again, and would memorize them and just really be swept away by the story. So that's what I always wanted to do. And I've always wanted to be a director as well. Uh-huh. So as a kid, I would do these. My little sister wanted to be a singer for a short period of time. So I would do these music videos with her and my cousin, and they were horrible. They were so bad. I would take a video camera and I would have a boombox behind the camera.
Oh, okay.
And I would first record and the boombox play button at the same time. And then my sister would lip sing and do the video, and I would direct her, and then I'd stop it, and then we'd switch locations and then do another scene.
Wow.
And they're hilarious. Like, they're really funny now.
It's kind of a hard cut.
It's a very hard cut. No edits. Live. I call it live editing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you, in college, you studied theater and everything. Where did you go?
So I went to a state school out of Geneseo, New York. So SUNY Geneseo. And I actually studied poli-sci. I thought I wanted to go into law.
Okay.
And I ended up having a little bit of like a quarter-life crisis about that, because I was like, I don't think I want to do this. I'm very much like, I care about the law and I care about politics, but I just didn't want to do it,
right?
You know? And I had always suppressed my creative drives. I actually had like a cable show that I ran in high school for our local access cable network, and I loved that. I loved acting, did a lot of plays, but I had always suppressed the you know, this is not practical, don't do this. And God was just like, I think he was, you know, just he acts in mysterious ways, and I think he just caused this, you know, crisis to happen among, like, what am I doing? Like, God, like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, I'm not doing the thing that I'm naturally gifted in doing because I'm scared, you know? So I ended up leaving college for a semester and just praying and working and just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And I finally realize that, like, I'm just scared of acting. I'm scared of doing it. I'm scared of the. I'm scared of failing.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I think that I have a knack for it. But I'm just. I'm only not doing it because I don't think it's practical. So I went back to school. I took an acting class, and I just loved it. Yeah. And I ended up getting a little scholarship to go down to the city that summer to continue my studies, because I started kind of late, but I think my professor was like, knew that like, I had a knack for it and wanted to catch me up. So I got a little scholarship to go into the city and take some summer programs and did that. And I loved it. I love acting. I love film. And it's definitely missionary territory, though. Yeah. It really is.
Do you enjoy more of a serious role, or maybe a comedic role, or maybe just a narrative?
It goes back and forth. My family always thinks that I should do a lot more funny stuff, but I like drama more. Okay. I think I'm more of a serious type of guy. Yeah. But Tanner, my co-founder, he's hilarious. He's so funny. And I look at him and I'm like, man, I can't do that. Like, he's so good at that, you know. But I like the drama stuff. And actually, it's funny for our little team between Melissa, my wife, and Tanner and I like to say, like, you know, we've built like a little bit of like a Trinity team of like really different strengths. Like, Tanner's hilarious. He's so funny. And I'm much more like this epic drama type of guy. Like, I like Lord of the Rings. Like, how can we make this like Lord of the Rings? And then Melissa is like just super, super emotional. Like, she's so in tune with every, like, just the heart of a story, like how to bring out that. And so like we have, each of us have brought all those three little focuses into Saints Alive, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Okay, well, Alex, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get into more of the Saints Alive.
Awesome.
Thank you. Well, Alex, why is it so important to tell the stories of the saints in today's world?
Stories, you know, Jesus was a storyteller. We always come back to that. You know, we always come back to that. And stories have a way of piercing our heart. You know, we live in a very divided world. Uh-huh. And we know we live in a world but is hungry for the truth of God, the truth of his love and his mercy. And, you know, if we just go out into the world and just start, you know, saying these truths, you know, which are beautiful truths. They hit my heart every day. But if we just go out there and we just, like, you know, just say this is the truth, and it is, people put their walls up. You know, people have their walls up, and we want to get that truth into their heart. And I think that one of the best ways to do that is through a story, because a story is universal. You know, God made us in a way that story impacts our hearts, no matter who we are. You know, we can just sit down and hear a story and be in the position of that character, you know, and understand something more about ourselves, even though we haven't lived that.
Yeah.
We understand it. And so I think it's so important for the church to learn how to tell its story, to tell her story. You know, the stories of the saints are powerful, and they've cut through so many defenses that people have up, especially in our secular age, because you can't argue with heartbreak. You can't argue with suffering. You can't argue with like triumph of the faith of these saints. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just true.
Right.
And you see God in that. You know, you see him operating through that in a way that makes all of the other truths of the faith come alive. And it hits our hearts. So we just really think that story is a secret weapon of the church, because we have the most beautiful stories.
Right.
We have them, and we just need to tell them.
Right. And I think our culture, even in America. So, Rich, we're here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Named after probably King Louis the Ninth.
Right.
But
right.
It's like, how many people would know his story?
I know.
You know, that is actually very rich.
I know. He's actually on our list to do.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a lot of requests come for St. Louis.
Really?
I didn't know. Yeah, and it's just, there's so many. There's so many saints. And I like to, like, I come back to, like, this, I don't know where I heard this, but, like, people ask me, like, well, what is a saint? And, you know, obviously a saint is a person who lived their life out fully for God, like, to love him, know him, and serve him in this life, to be with him the next. But I also see them as, like, these pillars of reality.
Right.
You know, like, they're, like, these examples of reality. And it's so important for us to know that, like, the faith that has come before us, especially in these times of just like confusion.
Oh yeah.
And the saints and their lives and their trials offer a lot of wisdom for us to come back to. And yeah, we can't do it ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Now, I know a lot of research probably goes into writing these stories and scripts. But is there any saint in particular whose story you learned about that really surprised you or kind of
like every saint, every episode that we do, there's always like a saint that is just like, wow, I didn't know that. Like, how did that happen? But I think one of the main ones that really surprised me, I always come back to Padre Pio. Like Padre Pio's story, it's really incredible. As a kid, it was like, it always kind of scared me. It was like,
yeah.
You know, he was like, oh my gosh, he has a stigmata. But his like, his courage and his humility and his faith is just really beautiful. Yeah. And his, I don't know, like there's just so many little things about him that I did not know. And it just, it opened up my eyes to him as like, you know, he's not like this scary figure.
Right.
I mean, he's intense.
Yeah.
He's very intense, but
passionate.
Passionate,
you know, about
yeah.
your salvation. And
Exactly. Yeah. But every saint has something that I'm like, what? Like, how do they do that? You know, and I think that's what kind of makes them like a saint. But even like the simple ones, like I think a really important saint to remember is like, yeah, Saint Therese, mm-hmm. you know?
Her, very modern day, yeah.
Yeah, like she is really powerful. And I didn't know all the details of her story either other than like her little way, but it's like unpacking that is like, there's always something there in their story that you see the heart of their faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like her because, you know, she's a model of holiness, but also of youth. You know, she's a doctor of the church at 24.
Right.
That's amazing. Hard to do.
It's
but there was real grace there. And but I think just she was so in tune to her faith,
yeah.
you know, of what her parents handed on to her. And as she grew, you know, her faith definitely grew.
Exactly.
Now, your episodes are about 30 minutes long or so. But what is the process of going into, like, writing the script? How long does that take?
It's a long time. It's a long time.
Because they're released, every episode's about a month.
Yeah, so we try and slate out one saint a month, and those stories are usually one or two part episodes. Mm-hmm. So we average about one to three episodes a month, depending on how things fall. But the process is intense.
Yeah.
It's an intense process. So we're starting already. Right, we're already done recording things right now for Lent. You know, like, and so that process for writing Lent started in the summer.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So like that's how much time goes into actually getting these things produced and created. And then after things are produced, it takes about like after things are recorded, it takes about another 200 hours just to get the thing put together.
Yeah, good.
And because we work with actors all over the world now, and we have an amazing writing team that is local, and also we contract out for other writers
wow.
that reach out to us, and they're like, hey, I love what you're doing. And then we build a relationship with them. But it's an intense process, and one that would not be possible without a lot of prayer.
Wow.
A lot of prayer. And but we are so blessed to have found the people that we've found, and especially working with Hallow now, like we're able to actually be in a position to be able to stage out production. Because before it was literally just Tanner, my wife, and me, and then we would do everything. And there was a period of time when I wasn't really sleeping. Like I was getting some rest, but I can't really tell you how much sleep I was actually getting.
Yeah, not much.
And not much. And I'm a young dad, and so I'm used to not sleeping, but that was even more, that was more intense. But it's a grueling process, you know?
What's been the feedback with the Saints Alive?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. We have young parents that come up to us, and yesterday actually a mom came up to us and was just crying because she's like, you don't understand. Like, I've had a daughter who's really, like, just not been open to the faith, like, at all. Like, just from even from a young age, like, just says, like, you know, she just rejects going to church, rejects the faith. And, but I found your podcast and I played it for her, and she understands faith now, and she understands God and wants to be a saint.
Wow.
And wants to love Jesus. And your story has helped her inspire that. And I was trying to tell her this, I was trying to show her this, but like, I couldn't do it. But your stories, your, the way you tell these stories, they come alive. Like, we call ourselves Saints Alive for a reason. Like, we want people to know that these stories are real. That these people were real. They were alive.
Oh.
And they're alive now in heaven. So that is always humbling, you know? And then having priests and religious come up to us who share it, you know? And it's just like, that is honestly, like, for me, the most, that's the most humbling thing, having a priest or a religious, you know, brother or sister come up and just, like, thank me. Like, I'm thanking you guys. Like, this is my thank you to you, you know, for your faith and for you, your vocation and your sacrifice, like, because we need it, you know? And these stories that, like, these are people who've gone before and really sacrificed so much. So that's always just the most amazing thing. But really having the parents and the people and the religious come up, like, it's just
amazing.
It's humbling.
Well, Alex, God bless you and your work and your ministry.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much.
Well, they're doing good work out there. Mm-hmm. I marveled at their faith and willing to step out and try it, something new there.
And there was actually something that he said in the interview that caught my attention, because he said his earlier pursuit in life was to go study law, and he had done that and realized that really wasn't something he wanted to do. It's something he appreciates and respects, but he was always kind of drawn more to the creative side of life. And I think there's something to be said about that, because he took something that was of an interest, maybe in a passion of the storytelling, of writing, and he's got a gift for it. But he puts it in a very evangelical way for us to really learn about the gospel, to learn about the saints. That's very important. I think that's kind of an aspect of our faith that we can forget about or not know about. But hearing those stories of the lives of the saints is so important. But these are interesting stories. They're interesting for all ages.
Right. What I enjoyed about the interview, you all kind of wove it like a story. And I love the part his wife saying, let's stop talking about it. Let's just do something. Mm-hmm. Take a first step of some part. I thought there was a great truth there. But yeah, the power of story. Jesus used parables and things, told stories, prodigal son story. And it strikes the heart. You know, it has a way of getting into the heart in a very kind of immediate way. And, you know, I can remember, especially as a kid, you know, some stories were just like, they're just burned into my brain. You hear these stories,
right.
You just grasp hold. And as kids, I mean, it's all ages, but I mean, kids especially, it can really give you a direction in life.
Mm-hmm.
It can have a very formative aspect to the person's personality.
Yeah, and it's very scriptural too. If you look at the Old Testament, it's the way it's written is like a story form, and there are things that become very concrete. The story of Adam and Eve, the Noah's flood.
Yeah.
All of that, you know, there's stories that we don't forget.
Right.
You know, maybe we hear them often, or they're, in a way, they're simple that we do remember them in a way that really draws us into a deeper just faith life. And again, you know, you see that with the present time, with the saints of their lives, because a lot of times we can think of them as remote and different or distant. And a lot of times the challenges they face are, maybe we may see them as irrelevant to our times, but actually as we learn about the saints, we do realize they faced a lot of the same obstacles.
Yeah, you know, maybe enforcing us, especially like radio or just audio, forces us to imagine it, you know, and then so it kind of becomes part of us maybe in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm.
But. Well, we'll send you that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with His Holy Spirit and every good gift. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Yeah.